Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thank you, Anna. And welcome, friends, to this week's edition of the Minister's Friend podcast. We're continuing my interview with my friend Caleb Ives, Executive Director of the Emmaus School, on helping the folks in your church to fall in love with the Bible through inductive Bible study. The Emmaus School has developed an awesome way to help people who love Jesus to love His Word more deeply by teaching them how to dig into the Scriptures in this way. Last week, I noted the impact that the Emmaus School and the inductive approach have had on my own congregation. It takes more time and intentionality, but it's not difficult. We're even teaching our young folks to do this with great results. In today's episode, Caleb helps us define exactly what inductive Bible study is. Let's head back to the cafe and our interview. For our listeners who may just really not understand what specifically inductive Bible study is, can you just describe that for them?
Yeah, I think one of the ways to understand it is to contrast it with deductive Bible study. So deductive Bible study would be approaching the Scripture with our preconceived ideas about who God is, what's the gospel, like how are we saved, what's life about, how should I react to my enemy. So we have all of us have a theological construct. We have a way we think about life and God. So deductive Bible study brings that to the Bible and tries to force the Bible to adapt to me, to agree with me, right? And if you've been around church for a while, or even you've been following Jesus for a while, we do that sometimes. It's like, I really don't want to forgive my enemy, so let me try to find a scripture about revenge or something, you know, like make it agree with me. So the inductive approach seeks to reverse that and say, okay, I want to lay aside my preconceived ideas and conclusions, lay those aside, come to the Scripture with open heart, open hands, and let the Scriptures lead what I think. And I'm going to react to the Scriptures. In a way, it's like, instead of me having the microphone, I hand it to the Scripture. And I'm going to let it speak to me, and then I'm going to consider how it's causing me to change shape. You know, and I think the basics of inductive Bible study are that. It's allowing the Scriptures to speak for themselves, and then I react to it, rather than forcing it to adapt to me. And three basic steps to inductive Bible study are observation, interpretation, and application. So what does the text say? Interpretation, what does it mean? But that's an important step with inductive Bible study, because one of the things that makes it unique is it's driven by context. That the Bible was written for us, yes, but it wasn't necessarily written to us. So when we ask what does it mean, we don't, in inductive study, that step of interpretation is tied more to what did it mean in its original context. So when it's set down for the Israelites in the wilderness, what did this passage in Exodus mean for them right then, coming out of Egypt, looking into Canaan? And so trying to get informed a little bit more on authorship and the context of the readers or the people in the stories of the Scriptures. So that's the interpretation step. What does it mean? So observation, what does it say? Interpretation, what did it mean then and there? And then moving that, what I call the disciple step for me, which is, okay, now what? So what does this look like applied in my life right now? Application. So observation, interpretation, application. So what does it look like now to apply the truth of that timely word in the Scriptures in a timeless way right here, right now? So moving it from then and there to here and now. And it's just a repeated process of really trying to do that. And it's been, again, for me, life-changing, because understanding the historical context of the Scripture started to make this book that felt far off and distant for me. In a weird way, realizing that it had history sometimes thousands and thousands of years ago tied to it made it more alive to me right now, because it's like I start to see real people and real land and
it's
real
not just stories.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not just like the Marvel universe, right? So you think about your I'm side trailing here, but with kids' Bibles often, it's small story, small story, small story. So you got Adam and Eve, then you got this Noah guy who likes going sailing on boats, and then you got, right, you got Moses and his power stick, like, you know, turns into snakes. It's awesome. Then you got David throwing stones, giant slayer. You got Jonah, who's big into scuba diving, right? So you got all these, like, Bible stories, right? And then you got the Jesus stories, a couple of those, and then something about maybe Paul, right? Okay, so in a way, you end up with just this cast of scattered characters, right? And they feel almost as foreign to you as Captain America does, right? Because it's like, okay, I got my Marvel characters, my Disney characters, and then I got my Bible characters. And it feels kind of divorced from real humans in real life interacting with a real living God. And the inductive approach, taking just a little bit of time to get my mind a little bit wrapped around a real author writing to real problems for real people at a real time in history who are interacting with the same real living God that I'm interacting with now in my context. For me, it's made the Bible come alive. And I see that happen in a lot of people's lives. So one of the ways that I think about with inductive Bible study, with that approach to the scriptures, is like a conversation. All right, so like you and I are in a conversation right now. In any good, healthy conversation, my wife has taught me this, there's three steps. There's listening, there's then considering it, and now responding. Now, I've had a tendency in our marriage at times. While she talks, that's my preparation time for my response. So I don't really know for sure what she's saying, but I got my next point ready by the time she does breathe, right? So, but a good conversation, a relational, engaged conversation includes, I listen to you, I consider what you said and why you said it, and what's provoked that statement from you, and now I respond to both your word and the heart I'm interpreting from that, right? Three steps, listen, consider, respond. Inductive Bible study is really the same thing. I'm opening up the text, and I'm going to listen, then I'm going to take the time to not just listen and then run off to work, right? But I'm going to listen, now I'm going to consider, why does it say that? What does that mean? What's the heart of that that's being revealed? And now, what's the appropriate response to what I've just heard or read or seen? And I think that that's a good way of thinking of the inductive approach. It's just having a conversation with the scripture, letting God speak to me, I listen, I consider, and now I apply it in a response that's built on faithful study of the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Let's talk a little bit about the church and the impact that inductive Bible study can have on the church. What are some things that you've seen inductive Bible study do to ignite or infect, I mean, in a good way, a local church?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I'll say my family and I, we're missionaries with Emmaus, so we could be doing a lot of different things. When I thought I'd be a missionary as a kid, I always dreamed that I'd be living in China. I really did. I thought, I'm going to live in China or some foreign nation. And I thought that was the call that God had for my life if I ever became a missionary, which I really didn't want to do. It's a little scary. So 8 years ago, when God surprised us with this mission call that was going to require us to live in the U.S., I began to realize that the nations God had called us to was denominations. And I really felt that God put that on our heart, like God has called us to the church. And Emmaus was a way we could serve His church. At the time, I wasn't aware of everything that I've become aware of since, because I was fairly new to this whole biblical training thing. But Barna Research came out probably 5-6 years ago with a recent study that identified, they said that the Christian body in North America is immersed in a crisis of biblical illiteracy. That the vast majority of Christians are biblically illiterate, which when we say that, we don't mean they can't read the text, right?
Right.
I mean, they don't understand the text, and they don't know how to. Two basic questions of biblical literacy are, if I ask you, what is the Bible about, and what do you do when you open it? If you can answer those two questions, then I think you have biblical literacy, but
yes.
Barna's research identified that is not the case. Most people can't answer those questions.
Right.
And then beyond that, Lifeway did some research, and they identified that only 45% of Christians, regular church attenders in North America, are opening up their Bible more than once a week.
Wow.
And 40% is maybe once a month. And 20% of Christians, I should say 20% of regular church attenders in the U.S. Never. They said they never really opened their Bibles outside of being in church or in a Bible study setting. So there's a real problem of biblically of engaging with the Bible. That's part of what drives us. That Lifeway Research, which was driven by Ed Stetzer, actually, they also looked at what of the spiritual disciplines, what causes the ongoing spiritual growth of a Christ follower, like a lifelong development of a mature believer. And the number one discipline above any of the others, although they are all important, was engaging the Bible. That engaging the Bible influences one's long-term spiritual growth more than any other aspect of the Christian life. So all those things, those work bad together, right? Mm-hmm. So here's what causes the ongoing maturing growth of a believer, engaging their Bible. And, like, only 40% of the church even engaged it once a week. Only a fraction of people are reading their Bible, on a 3 to 5 day a week basis. Mm-hmm. And if we looked into it, a lot of them are just reading it out of rote routine.
Yeah.
They're reading it because we want to put in our 15 minutes a day.
Right.
So we read our psalm and then we head off to work, right? They're not necessarily engaging it, listening, considering, and responding. So all that has really driven us to say, okay, how can we work together with the church to address that? To try to address this crisis of biblical illiteracy that Barna identified. And we're in the early stages. We're really a pioneering ministry. We reinvented this whole thing about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and you've been a big part of this new beginning for us as a ministry trying to serve the church. Mm-hmm. And as we've been doing that, we've already seen some really exciting things. I think about, there was a man in a church, he's a deacon in leadership. He'd been in the church for 50 years. But after we did an overview of the scriptures, just giving him a flyover, a 30,000-foot view of the Bible, here's what the story's about. Over the next year, he read through the Bible for the first time in his life.
Wow.
He read through the whole thing, and he let us know, hey, I just finished reading the Bible. That's amazing, because this man, he's in his 70s, and he's been in the church for years and considered a leader mm-hmm. by many, but finally, for the first time, understood a deep need to engage it himself.
Yeah.
I remember another lady running up to me after we had a course and saying, I can't wait to go home. I'm going to read the book of Acts. We had just done something on the New Testament church and understanding that portion of the scriptures. So excited about that. So that's been really exciting. And I think about the students at your place. I get messages all the time now from college-age students, young adults, who are really going through the transition of, you know what? I'm kind of tired of just being captivated for an hour by a really good speaker or getting a new podcast like that, that I listen to the sermons from this person across in such and such a state, you know, the celebrity kind of feel.
Yeah.
Or I'm tired of just listening to my new band that I really like or whatever it is. I want to get into this myself.
Yeah.
So finding a lot of long-term influence happening as a result of learning to engage their Bibles.
There are two basic questions that define biblical literacy. First, what is the Bible all about? And second, what do you do when you open it? Unfortunately, most church-going Christians today cannot adequately answer those two questions. Teaching your folks to inductively study the Scriptures can radically change that. And if our experience is any indication, it'll also bring great encouragement to them as they discover the depths of biblical truth for themselves. Inductive Bible study has three primary parts: observation, interpretation, and application. In observation, we ask the question, what does it say? In interpretation, we ask, what did it mean for the original audience? And in application, we ask, so now what? How do I apply what it meant for the original audience in my own life and my own context today? Caleb tells us that people who do inductive Bible study quickly discover a real God interacting with real people in real time. In other words, the Bible comes alive. This has certainly been the experience of my own congregation, and especially those in our youth ministry. Real growth comes from engaging the Bible. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to produce real transformation in every single one of us. We'll continue my discussion with Caleb next week, and we'll hear more about the fruit of the inductive Bible study approach. Is the Minister's Friend podcast a blessing to you? Would you please subscribe on whatever platform you listen to us and leave us a review? It's really important. We really appreciate your help. And please be sure also to tell your friends, the pastors you know, and the church leaders you know about the podcast. Your recommendation to others is the only way we're able to grow our audience. I hope today's episode was helpful. Please check the show notes for additional information and suggested resources. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!